Market, advertise, and sponsor your business with Vietnam veteran Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, where information and resources are intentionally disseminated via radio, print, and social media. Call our office for more details at 312-803-2618.
Welcome, welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable Public Policy. December is AIDS Awareness and National Human Rights Month. Today is Saturday, December 5th, 2020, and our host is Cliff Kelly, the governor of Talk Radio. I am his co-host, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith, and our digital media producer is Manny Carazari. Assistant digital media producer is Al Greer. And today we have two esteemed panelists, attorney Ernesto Borges and Rochelle Crump. Today we're going to be discussing a CNBC politics article, Trump doubles down on $740 billion defense bill veto, threats over Section 203 of the tech fight. And this is Donald Trump is actually threatening again to veto the NDAA if lawmakers do not include a measure eliminating legal protections for social media companies. Trump is calling for the repeal of Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which protects tech giants like Facebook and Twitter from being held legally liable for what is posted on their platforms. On Wednesday, Trump referred to the provision as a liability-shielding gift to big tech and called for it to be completely terminated. Otherwise, he would nix this year's National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, which is, again, for $740 billion. And this really is given to the Pentagon to cover all of our service members and all the things we need to do for our troops. It also has a 3% pay raise for troops and a plan to rename military installations bearing names of Confederate leaders, as well as a slew of other provisions. But these two things have nothing to do with each other. The 230 tech fight is something different. It's in a different bill. So I have I'm going to actually start off with Attorney Borges and let him weigh into this one. It seems like it's a kind of a fight that doesn't seem to make sense to me. Why would you cut off defense spending when you are trying to protect, other social media websites? Hello, Attorney Borges.
And hi, Rochelle.
Okay.
Hi. This is another instance where the president puts his own personal goals and aims and his, he makes it all about him. And, I see this, we've got the National Defense Authorization Act, which is going to supply our military with money to buy all the armaments we need and the salaries and a 3% increase, as you said, for the military. But he just sees everything through his own personal prism and what it does for him. And he is using, he's holding this up for the purpose of, stopping the protection or ending the protection for these media companies, because he wants to go after Twitter. I think when he leaves office, he wants to go after Twitter. He wants to sue Twitter. If he puts something out there on Twitter and they don't allow it, he's looking toward making money. Intimidation is another tactic of his. Intimidation, his bullying. Now he wants to bully Zuckerberg. He wants to bully Gates and everybody else, and have them in a position where they're afraid to call him out on things or to censor him. And I think one of his goals is to create this big Trump communications empire, and he wants to be able to say whatever he wants to say, whether it be social media, what have you. And it's just despicable to tie this to the National Defense Authorization Act. We need to protect this country, and say when a president takes office, it's to protect the people of the United States and our country from foreign and domestic threats. But he's tying the two together, and he's getting some pushback even from the Republicans on the Hill. So they may override his veto. And they're trying to hesitate on this, but they may override his veto even if he were to veto it. So that's what I'm hoping, and we could have that bipartisanship on both sides, and we need it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Rochelle, what are your thoughts on this? Because do you think that this is going to have an effect going forward? You know, because we are now in a time period where we're going to be reorganizing the way that we are perceived by the world as we move into a new administration. And also we're going to be, sort of brought to the table concerning whether these kinds of things that we're doing about censorship. You know, it seems like we have a democratic society, but we do have to make sure that we do have some safeguards on social media, right? And
absolutely.
Yeah. So what,
absolutely. Yeah. And the attorney board just really spelled it out really good, you know. And I think that, you know, we have to protect our children from this also on media. You know, sexual exploitation and sex trafficking, you know, all of those are balled up into that bill, if you will, and will hurt the hurt our process of making sure that those children are protected. You know, a lot of parents have to work. They can't always watch their kids, you know, online, even when they're doing homework and things now online. You know, there's been predators coming on doing crazy things. So you hear that all the time. You know, so we do have to stand up for that. And you're right. It has to be bipartisan. It's everybody's problem. It's just not one side. It's not red. It's not blue. It's red, white, and blue. You know, and I always say that because that's who it affects. It's just not a group of people. It's all the people.
Yeah. And so I see, you know, I see some kind of, you know, one piece of this. I'm looking at it and I can see some arguments on the other side, too. I mean, with Trump saying that they shouldn't be shielded from liability and that kind of thing for certain protections. And there is a freedom of speech issue that's in, you know, that's sort of underlying this whole thing, a constitutional issue. But how do you strike that balance?
Well, the thing is, Doc, is that freedom of speech, you know, our First Amendment is not absolute, first of all.
Okay.
You know, you can't go into a crowded theater and start yelling fire or get on a and start you know what happened up in what was it, Epitome, when one thing happened, somebody sprayed some of that gas or whatever, and it started a stampede, and a lot of people died as a result of that. So you can't you can't go into a theater and say fire. You can't get on a plane and yell, "I've got a bomb," you know, and say, "Well, hey, well, that's my First Amendment right to say whatever I want to say." Mm-hmm. So that right is not an absolute right. And if you get on Twitter saying things that are just patently untrue and could be dangerous, "I've got a bomb," or "I'm going to bomb the federal building tomorrow. I'm taking a bomb to the Empire State Building." And it was all a joke. So you have to have some, you know, censorship of the some limitations on your amendment, your First Amendment freedom of speech. But you also have to shield. As you said, that shield them from liability, because people will put crazy things out there on social media, you know, they can't be responsible for everything. They can't censor everything immediately, but when it's brought to their attention, they should be able to do that. So there's a delicate balance, as you were talking about, between freedom of speech and ability to the liability protection there. And Trump, you know, it's all about him. He wants to be able to put whatever he wants out there on social media, and he wants to be able to sue them should they not allow him to say what he wants to say without some caveat or some warning or, you know, how Twitter does and Facebook and so forth. They can remove articles from there that are dangerous and patently untrue. They have to have some protection.
Yeah, you sounds like you have to have some kind of moral, ethical base for making those determinations, you know, or, if not a legal basis. Because what you were talking about, I was thinking, well, you know, yes, I would like to see Facebook have some kinds of provisions that offer some protections, but then I don't want to see someone going after them as a suppression of freedom of speech. And
go ahead. Let me just say this too. Don't forget that this is his grand red carpet exit. Mm-hmm. You know, so he wants to be seen before he leaves. He's continuing to end his tenure, you know, the way that he came in, pretty much. That's what it looks like to me. And that wasn't good. So he's leaving out the same way.
Yeah.
But he's also setting himself up as much as he's taking revenge on people, even the pulling the troops from Somalia. Now, that's all about the U.S. representative up there in Minnesota. He wants to punish her and remove troops from her country because she's a Somalian, from Somalia. And that's a dig at her, I think. Why would you do something like that with just 40 some days left? Everything he's doing now, I think, is for his benefit, whether it wants to make him feel good, whether it's setting him up financially for the future. It's all about him, and it always has been, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, and it's kind of.
But he's not changing his color on what he thinks about women. Don't forget that. So that's a great opportunity for him.
Oh yeah. And one of the first, the most important thing that, and actually, you know, having served both of your veterans, we have veterans who are listening. But the first duty of the country is to protect its people, and. You know, so when we start talking about the Defense Authorization Act and all of that, this is something that is essential and it's definitely needed by our country to be in place and to be passed, right? And
absolutely.
When it comes up, it should be passed. But we also have the issue of, you know, having this thing about, you know, freedom of speech and those kinds of things and bullying online and all that. That's also a protection that needs to be afforded to the people, that we need to be protecting people, but we need to do it without a politicization of it.
Right. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, you talk about the National Defense Authorization Act. You know, $740 billion is a lot of money. And I think you may know, as I know, Doc, how, and Rochelle, that money is wasted in the, you know, in defense. We know there's overspending. You know, President Eisenhower, reminded us of that. And that was one of his greatest fears, was the military-industrial complex. But, and our budgets are so much higher than other countries. But nonetheless, that's a different issue. But, you know, to hold up funding that is outrageous for his own benefit of being able to sue. And you can believe that he is going to put things out there on social media once he leaves office that are going to be outrageous. And he wants to be able to sue them should they somehow censor him, censor his tweets and so forth. And it's about money again. Himself and money.
Yes. Yeah, and I remember, in the article, the CNBC article actually, you know, really talked about Representative Adam Smith. He's a Democrat from Washington, and he's the chair of the Armed Services Committee. And he said that, you know, this doesn't make any sense, you know, that president's fixation with Section 230 stems from his personal fights with Twitter. And he said, to be clear, Mr. President, Section 230 repeal wasn't included in the House or Senate version of the NDAA. Smith tweeted that out on Wednesday, and then you're mad at Twitter. We all know it. You're willing to veto the defense bill over something that has everything to do with your ego and nothing to do with defense. And so, you know, we have to really look at, you know, what these legislators are saying, and they have to actually, it's time for people to speak up and to defend our nation and our constitution and our rights. But, you know, what I'm going to move on to is that we are, you know, running a little bit short on time. But what I wanted to do was to get your impressions and your reflections on the year 2020. Some of the things that you think are important for veterans to hear and know about, what their service means to us, and also things about what's going on in the world, how you feel about things. And I'll start with Rochelle this time. And, give us a sort of a little bit of a synopsis of things. I know it's a changed time. It's a lot of things are happening right now that are problematic for a lot of people, with people losing jobs and those things, but there are other things happening too. So what's your reflection on the year?
My reflection on this year was that, you know, it was really hard for women. I want to say that. You know, it was hard for everybody, but, you know, by women being the majority of single households and, you know, subjected to, you know, loss of jobs, working less employment than males, and then we had the military sexual assault and, you know, things like that that really, really put a stain on our nation, you know, as well as there was some watered down provisions, if you will, that the courts weren't working the way that they normally do. You know, when you filed a complaint, they weren't necessarily giving you an answer right away. It was so many things that were in the way of normalcy, if you will, to be able to defend yourself, help yourself, and or to sustain your only livelihood, you know, in a way that you normally would have been able to, because you had really no outside help. Everything was on the inside and it was just shut down. It was a watered down version of it, you know. And I think looking forward to the new year, you know, veterans and homelessness, and that's a challenge. It's always been a challenge, you know, but it really took a hit this time. And I think there's so much more to do, and I hope that, you know, the voices will be louder, the trumpets will be louder, the marches will be more, and that we stand up for what's right for our veterans and particularly for our women.
Oh, excellent. Well, that sounds like a charge. We got to get on your ship and move
yes,
forward.
Sir. Yes, sir.
There you go.
And Ernesto, yeah.
Yeah, this year, of course, on a very personal level, is the worst year of my life because I lost my wife of 28 years. Yeah. And so that's first and foremost on a very personal matter, just devastating, how devastating it can be. As to other matters, you know, I call this the year of enlightenment because of a number of things. It kind of enlightens, I think we've been enlightened as to what one person can do. You know, as we look back in history of a Hitler, of a Mussolini, of a Stalin, you can see what one people think that one person can't make a difference, but one person can make a difference, a huge difference. Yeah. And whether it's a Martin Luther King on the good side or Donald Trump on the bad side, one person can, especially when they have the power that he has, and how he can line people up. I mean, if you look back at the 1930s, how this man was able to appeal to great masses of his country, and we begin to see just pulling the cover off of things like racism. When you have people who will vote against their own interests just to maintain, say, white male supremacy in this country, and how if you're out there, some of these people are Trumpsters, and you can't say that it's logic that they're employing, their good sense, their wisdom, their logic. It seems as if the racism in this country is still very prevalent, because I can't figure out how people can vote for someone and support someone with the vigor that they have for a person who is only about himself and he's not about this country. It's mind-boggling how 280,000 Americans can die, and mainly because of the actions of this one person. And so it shows me that this country is still has this this racism, this systemic racism by almost half of our fellow citizens. And it lets you know that it's still there. And, you know, you see the George Floyd, and then you see on the other side the optimism of the people who came out when the George Floyd was killed. And you see how you had good thinking people out here. So we still have a lot to look forward to in this country. But I think that this is a year that we can look at and see what America, what's still out there that we're fighting for equality in this country, equality for women, equality for minorities and people of color, and how there is this still this push that we need to push this white male supremacy is so just prevalent, and it's ubiquitous. And I think that it's a year of hope also, though, and what we can do to come together again as Americans.
Yeah, I love that. You know, the year of enlightenment and the year of hope. That's really absolutely important. And we, you know, we had we've had over 280,000 deaths so far. And if you look at, you know, you have 86,400 seconds in a day. And if you have a death toll per day of 2,000 people, that means one person's dying every 43.2 seconds. If you have 3,000 people die per day, it's every 28.8 seconds. So that means two people a minute. And that you know, we are headed towards that, because if you don't follow the, you know, making sure wear your mask, social distance, wash your hands, follow the basic public hygienes. And I'm intending on getting the vaccination myself. I feel there were a lot of miracles that happened this year. And some of them were having our veterans, many of them who are serving as EMTs and paramedics who are out there. We have doctors, we have nurses, we have healthcare providers, we have people giving people health care in assisted living settings, in skilled nursing facilities, long-term care facilities. These people are on the front lines, and they are heroes. They are actually helping to save people's lives every day. And so
Go ahead, Doc.
Okay.
As you say, all the good things that are there also, as you just spoke of, and we see how Americans can come together, and people are putting their lives on the line for other people. And you know, our soldier, our military people do that. But, you know, you have that whole medical community and others who are putting their lives on the line to help Americans, to help not just Americans, but people who live in this country, in a way you can come together to achieve great things. So it's just an enlightenment about the good and the bad.
Oh, yes. We're running out of time, and we're going to be giving a special announcement. And of course, as you know, as permanent panelists of this group, we can't call in. I thought about doing it for these boxes and money. But we have an announcement.
Hey, hello, Ernesto, two of my faves. How are you guys?
Yay, great. Hi.
Wonderful. It's that time, guys. It's that time. And we want to especially thank Chris Kennedy and Sheila Kennedy of Top Box Food, along with Congressman Danny Davis, for their holiday Top Box Food donation. We need 8 callers to call in, please. 8 callers, call in to 773-591-1690 for a wonderful holiday Top Box Food, courtesy of Chris and Sheila Kennedy of Top Box Foods and the wonderful Congressman Danny Davis. Call in now, please. 773-591-1690. Also, we're going to announce next show 2 $1,000 winners. One for veterans, armed forces, or family members. But you must prove with a DD-214 that you are of the military population. The other one is for a regular listening audience member. In order to qualify, you must like, share, and register at America's Heroes Group website. Do it now, because if you call and you don't have those areas completed, you will be disqualified, like a caller was week before last. She won, but she didn't win. So please, go to the website, like our Facebook page, share it, and register at www.americashg.org. americashg.org. You have to like, share, and register in order to win the $1,000 cash prize for a military population with proof of a DD-214 and a regular listening audience member. So come on.
Okay,
come on.
We're
ready to get this
run for
away. Christmas time.
And Rochelle and
happy
Ernesto.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yeah. We love both of you, and we all have got to get together soon. Hopefully, I'll be getting my vaccination on the air. That I've already committed to that.
Yeah, he said he's going to do it right here, guys.
Wow.
Okay,
that's
I'm with you.
Salute,
I'm with you.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, stay with us. We'll be right back. Stay with us, and we have a wonderful show coming up. Stay here. Bye.